Kreitzer gets it. A race with Mason. Mason chases him. Mason rejects it again, and it was off of Kreitzer and out of bounds. Bryce Mason with two big-time rejections in the first 3 minutes of the game. Kreitzer gets it. A race.
That was from the sub-state final back in March, just a little over a month ago. Man, that feels like it was 6 months ago, doesn't it?
It really does.
I was just sitting here the other day going, you know, the state basketball tournament was just a month ago.
Yeah.
And then we got the news on that Thursday night that, hey, everything's canceled. And we were, Beloit played on Wednesday. So we were back here hoping to go back on Friday for the semifinals. And it is hard to believe that it's just been over a month.
Yeah.
And in regards to sub-state championship game, that's been a month and about 10 days.
Yeah.
It seems so much longer than that.
It does.
Man, oh, man. But that was Bryce Mason with one of his outstanding blocks. He was phenomenal in that sub-state run and then played great in this state first round against Nemaul Central. That'll be the subject of our sub-state championship week rewind coming up here in just a little bit. TMP Beloit 3A Boys sub-state final here from 2020. But we begin with, well, it ties in with that Beloit basketball team, as there's some academic honors to share with everyone.
Yes, senior Hudson Gray has been named to this season's Kansas Basketball Coaches Association All-Academic Team. To be eligible for that, you have to rank in the upper 1/4 of your class, have an ACT of 25 or higher, and in the coach's judgment, you're of good moral character. Gray was recently named to the honor roll of 3.70 to 4.0 GPA in Beloit for the third 9 weeks, and again, those are the kind of the parameters there. Obviously, he had a great season on the court, and in the classroom, he's doing great as well. The full team hasn't been released yet by the KBCA, so if we have any other area athletes that are on that, we'll definitely pass it along. And once we get the full list, we'll post it at nckssports.com.
Senior spotlight you're going to have later this
tomorrow,
week?
Tomorrow, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Do we know what school we're doing?
I think it's going to be Beloit.
Okay, it will be Beloit tomorrow. Okay, all right. That sounds good.
I think that's where I'm going this week.
All right.
So
okay, sounds good.
Try to space some things out.
Stay tuned tomorrow. All right, KU, Devon Dotson saying he's going pro. That was the other day. And then yesterday, Ochai Agbaji, I had no concern of him going pro.
Even though it was a possibility.
He had a better chance of going pro last year than this year, probably. Averaged 10 points a game. He announced he's coming back, which makes sense. He's rated number 85 in this year's draft class, which means he wouldn't get drafted.
Not even close.
Not even close. The 12th ranked small forward, so he can improve upon all that. Here's an example of a guy that, after playing just a few games his freshman season, if he would have gone pro, would be much higher than he is now after playing a year and a half since.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you. That's why these high school kids get – people go, well, how do high school kids back in the day when they allowed them to go straight to the pros, how do they get drafted ahead of guys that played in college? Well, we've seen your flaws in college.
Yeah.
But in high school, you don't really see the flaws.
It's all potential.
Exactly.
Because you can't compare what they're doing in high school and who they're seeing in high school to who they're going to go up against in the NBA. So you based off all potential and five-star guys or five-star guys, whether they're going to college or the NBA.
Absolutely. So KU Agbaji will be back next year for the Jayhawks. K-State football news. They've added some depth to its defensive backfield. They're on Monday as Keandre Thomas, a defensive back who spent the first 4 seasons of his college career at Minnesota, announced he'll transfer to Kansas State. So that'll help K-State in the defensive backfield. College sports, how is it impacted by COVID-19? Well, I think this is the first of, unfortunately, might be many. The University of Cincinnati has discontinued men's soccer effective immediately. This is all about finances.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a sport that doesn't make a school money, you are susceptible to being cut. Football programs are not going to be cut unless it is an albatross and it is costing the university a ton of money. Smaller universities could very well be the case. I don't think Alabama is going to stop their football program. I don't think Oklahoma is going to. But these other peripheral sports, and I mean that with no disrespect, whether it be rowing, rugby, tennis, maybe even swimming, golf, powerlifting, perhaps, soccer in this situation, are very vulnerable. And Yahoo Sports has obtained a letter from a group of 5 commissioners to NCAA President Mark Emmert asking for temporary relief from several regulatory NCAA requirements for a period up to 4 years. Among them are sports sponsorships minimums, which hints at more sports cuts. So it's going to be the little guys is going to get cut. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be the athletes that work just as hard at their craft at these other sports that aren't super popular. I've talked about this before. That's kind of how our country works as well. We have a huge defense budget. We have huge budgets in various categories. But then when we want to cut spending, we cut it in these programs that don't have a lot of money anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's where we cut. Social services, mental health. That's where we cut. But we have, you know, hundreds of tanks sitting in Illinois that aren't being used that we keep building because we want to make sure that there's a couple hundred people employed because the congressman worked that into a deal as part of a bill to get his vote for it to pass.
Yeah.
That's frustrating to me. And this is going to be frustrating to a lot of people that, listen, there's going to be animosity, of course, towards what? Football. There's going to be animosity towards men's basketball because those are the two highest revenue sports.
Yeah.
Football by far, men's basketball next. You got this big deal with CBS, TNT, with NCAA tournament, even though they didn't have one this year. Those are revenue-producing sports. You know, volleyball could be susceptible. I don't think it will. I think you got to have so many women's sports. Here's the other thing. You got Title IX.
Yeah.
So if you lose a women's sport, you've got to cut a men's sport.
Yeah.
And that's where things are going to be get a little bit dicey. And then that's going to obviously what? That means less people are getting scholarships, which means now they're going to have to pay their own way, or maybe they don't go to school. So there is a trickle-down effect with this whole thing, and it is no question. We see it now with the reports coming out today with some of the financial stuff. No shocker that the first quarter has been bad for businesses. Duh.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. We already knew that, but it's maybe a little worse than people thought. And it also pertains to college athletics, which is a business, by the way.
It is. Whether you guys like it or not, or yes, anybody wants to admit that, it has turned into that without a question, and it did long ago. But,
yes,
you know, in a time like this, you're understanding just how much it has.
So, to be continued, but I think that's the first of many more sports programs that are going to be cut or temporarily suspended. So no funding, no scholarships, perhaps. Yeah. I don't know how it's all going to work out.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. You hope maybe some of these programms will get cut, and maybe sometime they'll recover.
Yes,
and maybe can bring some of them back too. You know, it doesn't have to be the end all be all if you can maybe recover later on.
Right.
In, you know, 10 years down the road, Cincinnati wants to bring soccer back because they've recovered.
Right.
You know.
You hope.
I'm not going to say that will happen, but it's something you can hope maybe can't happen.
It could. All right. What else can Patrick Mahomes do? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he's not even playing football right now, and now there's a story from the Wall Street Journal saying that it is possible that the 49ers losing the Super Bowl prevented the spread of the coronavirus and saved countless lives. And who can you thank for that? Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. If that doesn't say America's team, I don't know what does. The Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and all these Chiefs, they save lives by winning the Super Bowl. I mean, what could Patrick Mahomes possibly do with the rest of his career? I mean, seriously, let's just retire now. You're 24. You've been to two AFC title games. You've been the regular season MVP, the Super Bowl MVP. You hung out with Mickey and Minnie at Disneyland. And now you're saving thousands of lives by coming back and winning the Super Bowl so that folks in San Francisco didn't spread the coronavirus. What else can this man do? Build the statue right now.
Yeah. With that Superman cape on and just stand above everybody and be like, yep, that's me.
Yes. Well, let's give you a little background on this. We're not making this stuff up. This is true. University of California San Francisco Department of Medicine Chair Dr. Bob Wachter told the Wall Street Journal that even though that was a brutal sports loss for the city of San Francisco and the 49ers, it may have saved lives. The 49ers, of course, would have held a Super Bowl parade in downtown San Francisco had they won the Super Bowl, and that could have spread the coronavirus. Let's go back in time. At the time of the game, Santa Clara County had just reported 2 positive cases of COVID-19. On the other hand, Kansas City, which of course ended up having a big parade, didn't report its first positive case of COVID-19 until March 18th. So, in theory, if those few cases or other people may have COVID-19 gets together, tight confines, you got thousands or millions of people together at a parade rubbing shoulders against one another, they cough, they sneeze, whatever might happen, they could have really spread the disease because championship parades generally attract a few million fans to specific locations, and then you could have the spreading of that. And it's interesting point and could very well be possible. The state of California has been under a stay-at-home order since March 19th. There have been 24,000 positive cases, 725 deaths in California related to COVID-19. So perhaps the Super Bowl losing it for San Francisco was a blessing in disguise, and you can thank Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs for spoiling the Super Bowl for the Niners but saving people's lives. That's a fact. No yes. fake news there. That's an absolute fact because some guy that's in the Department of Medicine at San Francisco, University of California, San Francisco, said so. So it's a fact.
Yeah.
So I'm going with it.
Yeah.
I'm going with it, man.
Exactly.
I'm
going
to believe what I want to believe, and I believe Patrick Mahomes just saved thousands of lives.
At least.
At least.
Yeah.
If not millions.
Yes.
So I'm with it. I'm going for it.
You never know how that's going to spread, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, by the way, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl just a little over 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That seems like a year ago, doesn't it?
It really does.
Wow.
That's been the lone bright spot of 2020, really.
Isn't the Chiefs won the Super Bowl?
For me, anyway.
Yeah, because Kobe died in a helicopter crash. That was a horrible way to get things going in January. Then, you know, COVID-19. But you're right, the Super Bowl was the biggest highlight for Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Now, for 49er fans, 49er fans would sit here and say, this has been a horrible year. We lost the Super Bowl.
Everything's not good for, if you're not a Chiefs fan, I don't know what
I don't know what great thing you got going on now.
Because he didn't have any other championships
this
year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're joking a little bit. Surely there's
some good
things.
I guess if you're an LSU fan right at the beginning of the year,
you're
happy. But.
Yeah, see. There you go. So, if you're LSU
fan. I'm sure there's good things going on in life. But literally, for me, the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl
was
and
highlight
me still having a job, I guess.
Yes,
you know,
right.
you can look
your health,
at some of the things and
that's
health.
That's kind of important.
Because, you know, I have family members that are battling through health issues right now, and that started this year. So it's been like a...
Not a great year.
Chiefs winning the Super Bowl is just
is your
a big
highlight.
Uplift.
Yes.
No doubt about
your
it.
Your uplifting moment. I got you. For LSU, them winning the title. Otherwise, you're just out of luck, I guess. I don't know. it's an interesting story, and there could be a lot of merit to it. It makes sense. He connected dots.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't think the guy's just spewing out stuff that he's just saying that. Just
that isn't coming from a politician or the mayor of Kansas City. That is a Department of Medicine chair. So I'm cool with it. Plus, he has a good name, Bob Wachter.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Sub-State Championship Week Rewind. Today, we will feature the Beloit TMP Boys Sub-State Final that took place here in early March. Beloit TMP coming off an exciting buzzer-beating win over Hoisington the night before. Beloit coming off an exciting win on a three-point play by Vinny Pollen with 7 seconds to go to beat Norton the night before. It could have easily been Hoisington and Norton in the sub-state final on that Saturday night. Instead, it was TMP Beloit. And Beloit had a couple opportunities before, since I've been covering a team, where they hosted sub-state but lost in the sub-state finals. So this was a chance for them to make it to state in front of their home crowd on their home floor. And I really, truly thought this game was 50-50 flip of a coin, and I really thought that it was going to come down to the wire. I was anticipating a last-second game. That's what I was anticipating.
Yeah.
And at least the team I was covering won, so I'm not disappointed that happened. But as a broadcaster, as you know, we like close games. We don't like blowouts very often. Unless it's a huge, gigantic, you know, hey, are we going to whine about our team winning a state championship or a sub-state final by a lot of points? No. Although, you know, if you make it a little more interesting, it would be a little bit better for the ratings, perhaps. I don't know. So a little bit of selfish plug there. But Beloit played tremendous basketball against TMP, and the scouting report was fantastic. Coaching staff had a great game plan, and the players executed. So we had a chance to catch up with Ryan Eilert, and then you'll hear the first three quarters of the game and then the very ending of the game between TMP and Beloit. And then tomorrow, Sub-State Championship Week Rewind will continue. Lance Bergman, St. John's Tipton boys head coach, will join us as we'll go back and look at the 2016 1A Division II boys basketball sub-state final between St. John's Tipton and Axtell. And then Friday, Osborne girls former head coach John Bowden will join us. He was the head coach of the girls of Osborne against Rock Hills. 2A girls basketball sub-state final. It came down to the final shot of the game in 2010. We'll have more sub-state championship week rewind again coming up next week. Our full schedule, what we're going to have, is posted at katycountry94.com and ncksports.com. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This week is Sub-State Championship Week. We are replaying some of the best wins in the Sub-State Championships of area teams that we have covered over the years. And today's game we feature was a very recent one, March 7th of 2020, Beloit hosting TMP. We thought it would be a tight, close game, and it was for the first half. But Beloit would pull away with a 16-7 third quarter, go on to win it comfortably 65-43. They punched their ticket to the state tournament for the 19th time in school history. And here to talk about that game is Ryan Eilert, the head coach of the Beloit Trojans. And You know, really the biggest thing that stands out to me, Ryan, about this one, we'll see what you remember because it was very recent, was one, TMP, once you got a somewhat comfortable lead, their body language kind of seemed to stray a little bit. But Bryce Mason, we had talked about how big it was for him to play well. When he plays well, you play well.
Kreitzer gets it. A race with Mason. Mason chases him. Mason rejects it again. And it was off of Kreitzer and out of bounds. Bryce Mason with two big-time rejections in the first 3 minutes of the game.
And he had a monster game. 18 points, 15 rebounds, five block shots.
Yeah, he had a tremendous game against Norton the previous night before and played well at the first round of state as well. But, you know, about this one, you know, all year long, once, you know, sub-states came out, you know, coaches told me how good TMP was, and they shot the ball so well, and then the 6'8 kid inside was good. And then, obviously, the semifinal night, you know, we saw them play Hoisington, and that was just a really good game in both teams. As you're watching, you're like, I don't know, you know, which one you'd prefer to play, but TMP just was really good. And you don't know what to expect when you go in to games like this. And I thought our kids came out. It was back and forth in the first half. They'd make a great play. We'd make a great play. I thought Bryce, you know, blocked a couple of breakaway layups that really got us going. Carson got hot.
Carson's hit three threes. A deep three on the way. Swish! Carson Cox from NBA range is 4-3 and a half, and boy, it's up by five.
And just a lot of great things happened in it. But to me, that third quarter, when we, you know, extended it, we were executing plays, we were finishing, and probably to me was the best we've played all year long, and just had a great night. And I've thought back in the last, you know, few weeks since it's happened about what a great night it was, being on our home floor. Just had a great crowd. Our band was tremendous. Our cheerleaders, just everything about it. You know, able to show off our facilities and what we have here in Beloit, and then to go out and perform like they did. You know, just all this will be a game that I'll always remember as just a whole community-wide effort and just a great night.
It was a terrific performance by the Trojans on that night. So we go back. It's Sub-State Championship Week Rewind here on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, on the Sports Ticket. As we go back to March 7th of 2020, Beloit TMP, we pick up the action with the opening tip-off.
As it is Beloit 19-3, winners of 11 in a row. TMP 18-4, winners of 5 in a row. The 3 seed versus the 1 seed. The 1 seed on their home floor, and they have not lost at home this year. Beloit's 9-0. On their home floor, and they hope that will be a good omen for them here tonight. Beloit in the home white with the black numerals, black lettering, outline in orange. TMP in that navy blue with the white numerals and lettering Monarchs on the front of the jersey. 6'7 Jacobs against 6'6 Mason to tip. We're underway, and it is controlled by TMP. Here's Kreitzer. He has it in the near corner, moving to our right, and Beloit will open up in a man-to-man. Skip pass far side to Lang, the hero the other night with a game-winning three against Hoisington. Aris Smith guarding Kreitzer to start out. Here's Schulte, shoots a three over Pollen, wide to the left, ball tipped out, and it comes to Arismith for Beloit, and the Trojans have their first possession of the night, moving to our left. Here's Pollen, quick drive baseline, flips it up with the right, left a little bit short. Jacob, 6'7 senior, hauls in the rebound for the Monarchs. What an interesting matchup that'll be inside with Mason and Jacobs. Mason will get some help, though. Cox slips and falls, Deckline out to Schulte, now to Kreitzer, inside Jacobs turns, loves turning to his left, and he's able to bank it in on the hard drop step. Jacobs with the bucket, and I was at a shoot-around, or actually practice the other day, and Ryan Eilert told everybody on the team that Jacobs likes to go to his left, and that's what he did off the bat, and Beloit didn't follow the scouting report. Here's Gray, bounce pass, cutting his Pollen on the baseline, brings all the way out to the far corner. Under 7 to play first quarter, 2-0, TMP with the early lead on the bucket by Jacobs. Pollen goes through, partially blocked, but Mason pump fake, rebound, puts it in with a right-handed hook. And we're tied at 2. Jacobs came over trying to block it. He did, but that left Mason open for the rebound. Schulte drives, bounce pass. Jacobs, he splits through the double. Cox knocks it away, out of bounds. Carson thought it was off of TMP. It looked like it might have been on the strip, but instead they say it is still TMP basketball. They have it underneath the goal to our right. 2-2 tie. Winner goes to State and Hutch next week. Both teams made it to State a year ago. Beloit finished second. TMP fourth. Jacobs forces up with the right hand and misses. Pollen the rebound for Beloit. Jacobs is going to see a lot of activity down low. There are going to be some white jerseys flashing at him. Pollitt behind the back dribble. And their hands at the Carson Cox. In the lane, he's tripped inadvertently and a foul called on Kreitzer. And that'll be the first foul of the ball game, and it goes against TMP. The Monarchs, their four losses. Olathe West, Norton by 11, Sacred Heart by 6, Great Bend by 12. They've won five since that loss to Great Bend. But their first two wins substate by a total of 6 combined points. 4-point winner Phillipsburg, 2-point winner Hoisington. Pollen in the lane, turns, elevates, left it short from 12. Then he started off slow the other night against Norton and then got red hot and took over at the end of the ball game, scoring Bullets final 8, clean a game-winning 3-point play to put them in the substate championship. Out front, Schulte coming off the screen, Gray guarding him. What a matchup that is. Now Lang, the junior, to Kreitzer. Schulte catches it on the near block. Jacobs turns and faces, spins against Mason, puts up the shot and hits. That was a tough shot, and Mason, pretty good defense. So it's pretty simple. TMP trying to establish inside with Jacobs. He has their first four. 4-2, Monarchs with the lead, Beloit with the ball, moving to our left. Here's Carson Cox, 64 threes on the air, dribble, spins, turns, flips it out to Arismith. Grant, only 5 threes on the season. He's a role player, a defensive player that gets those 50-50 balls. He's the hustle guy that they're missing after last year Hudson Smith graduated. Gray underhands it. Arismith open baseline. That one missed everything. Too strong. And rebounded by Kreitzer. He pushes ahead. Great pass to Lang. Rejected from behind by Mason. The human fly swatter erases the layup try, and he gets the rebound, and Beloit has the ball. 4-2. What a play by Mason, hustling down the floor. Cox in the lane, the little teardrop, up and a hair too strong. Ball tipped out, Kreitzer gets it. A race with Mason. Mason chasing him. Mason rejects it again, and it was off of Kreitzer and out of bounds. Bryce Mason with two big-time rejections in the first 3 minutes of the game. Mason averaging 3.5 blocks a game. He has two already, and both nominees for the block of the game from HR Block and Beloit never settle for less. So you kind of could see the second one coming. Mason was kind of stalking his prey from behind. 5:02 to play first quarter. 4-2. Monarchs with the lead. Beloit with the basketball. Just one foul called so far, and that was on Kreitzer. Coming into the ball game is Mason Robbins for TMP, number 31. Also into the game, Bryce Seib, a sophomore. Inside, Mason catches. Jacobs getting a breather. Nice pass. Wide open. Pollen, who rolls to the bucket. He cuts to the bucket. Mason doubled. Found the man wide open. Pollen. Now a bad pass, but Seib is able to pick it up. Seib kicks it out, and we have a whistle and a travel called on TMP. Their first turnover of the ball game. Vincent Pollen now over 1,100 career points. All-leaguer, sophomore, junior year, and will be an all-leaguer this year and should be an all-state selection again, averaging 16 a game. And he told us it took a while to get over that state championship loss a year ago when Bully thought they were going to finally get their first state championship in 6 tries. Pollen drives, and he was bumped, and a foul called on Lang. That's his first. The key for Pollen is don't be so amped up that you press and make bad decisions or take too many shots. Let the game come to you and then try to finish like he did the other night. The foul was on Lang. Second team foul, first on Lang. And Arismith will go out. Owen Eilert is in for Beloit. And after a short breather, Kreitzer will check in, and going out will be Lang. 4-4 tie, Beloit and TMP. The inbounds out front. This is Cox, who will crossover dribble, turns at the elbow, and gives it to Vinny Palm between the circles. Vinny wearing number one, backs it out with the right-hand dribble between the legs, picked up by Seib. Vinny, a nice crossover, Seib on his heels, pull up Jay from the left elbow, bounces in! South touch for Vinny, had enough arc on it, and I think he can get that shot anytime he wants tonight if it's one-on-one and there's no help, and Seib had no help on that possession. That might change. Mason Robbins trying to post up, Schulte has it near wing. This goes to Kreitzer. Kreitzer will back it out between the circles. Under 4 to play. First quarter, 6-4 Beloit, the first lead of the game. Driving baseline is Seib. Back in the corner, they swing it. Steckline high, arcing rainbow 3. That's no good. Rebounded by Eiler. Steckline is an outstanding perimeter shooter. Here's Pollen. Inside, Mason posting up against Robbins. He turns, pump fake, elevates, shoots, scores. If Mason plays well, Beloit can beat anybody in 3A. Driving is Kreitzer. Wild shot. Missed. Rebounded by Mason. And here come the Trojans with 3:20 to go first quarter. On a 6-0 run, they lead 8-4. Gray flips it to Cox. Carson turns the corner all the way. High shot off the backboard. Thought he might have been bumped. No foul. Well off the mark. Kreitzer back the other way. Cutting his side. Reverse layup. Missed it. Gets his own rebound. Swatted out of bounds by Gray. Blewett with three block shots in the first quarter and all three at the rim. Jacobs and Lang in, Stenklein and Schulte will go out. Burks will come in, a sophomore from Blewett. Mason will get a breather, interesting. So Jacobs comes in, that's when Mason goes out. And Valley now guarding Jacobs. Valley at 6'2", one of the eight seniors on this team for Beloit, although a couple don't play due to injury. Here's a three in the corner by Lang. It's up and short. And Valley, the rebound for Beloit. Good box out by the redhead Valley, number two. Started early in the year, now coming off the bench. Gray gets a screen from Valley. Kyler catches it. Give it some room. He'll take the three left of the key. A hair too strong. Good shot, though. And rebounded by Robbins. Here come the Monarchs, trailing 8-4. Blit on that 6-0 run. Kreitzer fakes the three into the lane. Oh, what a dish to Jacobs. He lays it up and in. Scores through the contact. Chance for three as Valley called for the foul. That was an impressive move by Jacobs. He has all six for TMP. And Beloit's lead is now two with 2:35 remaining in the first quarter. Jacobs to the line, a 50% foul shooter, and the free throw well short. Robbins had it, lost it. Seib gets it. And so Beloit can't get the offensive rebound. Check that defensive rebound, and TMP gets the offensive glass. Here's Kreitzer over to Lang. Lang has hit 17 threes on the year, the game winner on Thursday. At the free throw circle, Jacobs spins, turns, double team, over to Seib on the far side. Seib, a solid player off the bench, just a sophomore. He's one of those guys that does the little things for his team to win, just like Arrowsmith for Beloit. Play it out front to Lang, back near wing, down low, cutting his side. He turns against Eilert, up and under, shot goes off the rim, a little bit too strong. Eilert went straight up, contested, Valley the rebound, Beloit with the ball, with two to play in the first quarter. 3A boys substate final here from Beloit High. Pollen picked up by Seib. And Benny checks with Coach Eilert, they want to run a certain play. This one's called Rover. Pollen to the left elbow, this is Gray. He turns, spins, shoots with a left-hand hook. It was partially blocked, rebounded by Jacobs. Boy, TMP scouted that play. They were ready for it. It's just an entry to the high post, and you're hoping Gray can spin and catch the defense napping with no helps ID. TMP was ready and stopped it. Inside, Jacobs, double-team, triple-team. The Kreitzer, out of Seib. Here's Lang. He swings over to Robbins. Robbins goes baseline around Valley. No help defense. Valley blocks it, but he's calling for the foul. That's the second on Valley, and Mason will come in. Well, there's so much attention being paid to Carson Jacobs on the near side of the lane, on the near block, that you don't want to leave Jacobs too soon, and then you leave him for a layup, and so there was no help defense for Valley once he got beat off the dribble, and that's why if it's going to, the ball's going to be reversed against the Beloit defense, and they're doubling Jacobs, that means it's more imperative for the Beloit guards and forwards to move their feet and keep the dribbler in front of them, as Robbins has a bit of a bloody nose that's being attended to. So to the line will be Jackson Schulte, 81% foul shooter. TMP shoots 64% from the line as a team. Beloit 65%. Free throw by Schulte is good. Schulte struggled a bit the other night against Hoisington, but this kid can score. 15.3 a game, three rebounds, just a junior. He had 34, a career high earlier this season. 16 times in double figures. He's hit 55 triples. He's an excellent shooter. 81%, as I said, at the line. Second free throw to tie the ball game. It's up and it's good. And we're tied at 8. Minute 18 to play, first quarter. Winner goes to Hutch next week, loser done. Cox turns, picks up the dribble, now to Pauling. Benny drives, stops, elevates, foul line J. This one left a little bit short and rebounded there by Jace Wintling, a sophomore just checked into the ball game. Jacobs finds Lang. Chest pass over to Stecklein, who checks in. Monarchs are a deeper team than Beloit. They can go 8-9 deep. Beloit usually about 7 deep. Driving and a little bit of a bump and a foul called as Lang was able to slash through the lane and draw the foul. Foul's on Pollen. That is his first and the third team foul on Beloit. Two team fouls on TMP. The last time Beloit and TMP met was just over 4 years ago in Norton, March 3rd, 2016. And it was a substate semifinal in Norton, and TMP won in double overtime, 55-51, as Lang misses the first free throw, 76% foul shooter. 6 years ago, Beloit won at Hoisington in the substate finals over TMP, 62-53. So they met twice here in substate play during the last decade. So Lang hits one out of two, And TMP has the lead at 9-8. Screen set by Mason. Pollen turns the corner, goes all the way. The banker up and good. Pollen gives Beloit the lead at 10-9. Back the other way, we have a travel called on Schulte. Trying to attack. 28.8 remaining first quarter. Gray will check in, and going out would be Burks. Valley has two fouls for Beloit. That's the only player with two so far. Beloit leads by one. Little full court man-to-man here with Lang, the junior, against the senior, Vinny Pollen. Mason will come to set the screen. Lang trying to hedge it. Pollen goes left. Vinny between the leg dribble. Crossover. Pull up Jay. Fadeaway. Baseline. Swish by Vincent Pollen. I don't know how you defend that. 12-9. Beloit with the lead. 8 seconds to go in the first quarter. Here's Lang, fires over to Steckline. Steckline drives, steps through, flips it up with the right, left it short. The follow, good by Jacobs at the buzzer as Beloit didn't check him out. Jacobs with 8 of TMP's 11. Beloit, Pollen with 8 of their 12. 12-11 Beloit. That's the end of one. We start the second quarter. Beloit with a 1-point lead. Pollen with 8 of their 12. Jacobs has 8 of TMP's 11. Cox posting up, trying to go to Mason, through a little bit behind him, stolen by Schulte. Schulte attacks. Oh, what a move. Lays it up and in with the left. Jackson Schulte goes by Carson Cox, and TMP leads 13-12. Here's Gray in the lane. Out to Carson. A three. Yes! Carson Cox, the gunslinger, strikes again. His 65th three of the year, and Beloit leads 15-13. First three of the game for Beloit. Lang, right of the key, near side front of the Beloit bench to my right as Robbins checks back in. Schulte rises and fires for three, in and out over Gray and rebounded by Carson Cox. TMP yet to make a three, 7:05 to go first half. Beloit leads 15-13 on the triple by Carson Cox. 174th of his career. Gray finds a seam, now just flips it up with the left a little bit short. Mason tipped it, but Jacobs hauls it in for the Monarchs. They have it moving to our right in the blue unis with the white numerals and lettering. Jacobs had a notion. He is not a three-point shooter. He knows his place. That's to get inside. He's battling 6'7 against Mason 6'6. Pair of bigs here in 3A basketball. Two of the best bigs in the state. A three by on the way by Lang. No. Mason, a checkout on Jacobs. Up high for the rebound. Bryce averaging 8.6 rebounds a game. That leads the team just slightly ahead of Hudson Gray at 8.5. Gray, crossover dribble. Drives. Puts it up. No. Blocking foul called. I think they got Schulte. And that would be his first. It is on Schulte with the block. His first personal. Third team foul on the Monarchs. Monarchs scores for the Mid-Continent League. They won their first two sub-state games by a combined total of 6 points. Beat Phillipsburg by 4 on Monday. And then, of course, the three-pointer before the buzzer to win it against a two-seed Hoisington by Lucas Lang as Gray misses a free throw. Hudson, a 61% foul shooter. Bill Mayer is the head coach in second year, 32-17, 2 years. And he's been into two straight sub-state championships. Made it to state a year ago, trying to make it state and make it 2-for-2. Second free throw by Lefty Gray. That one well off to the left. So Hudson, that one wasn't even close. Back the other way. Kreitzer has it in the far left-hand corner for TMP. Schulte, and they'll swing it on the perimeter back to the near side to Robbins. Man-to-man defense by both teams in early going. Schulte, left-hand corner goes to Lang. Now to Mason Robbins. Robbins turns, skips it across to Schulte. Schulte tries to drive. Gray's able to move his feet. Now Eilert, the sophomore, guarding Lang. Mason Robbins underneath, turns, off-balance shot, no. Ball tipped out there by Wintling, but it goes right to Owen Eilert for Beloit. Quickly ahead, it goes to Arismith on the far sideline. 5:50 to go first half, 15-13, Beloit leading by two. Eilert catches it, lobs it underneath. On the block is Mason. He's bumped and shoved by Robbins. Easy call for the official. First one on Robbins, 14 foul on TMP. Beloit with three team fouls, Valley with two. He's a role player off the bench. It's a foul trouble, really not an issue for either team thus far. Gray inbounds it to Mason. He turns wide open, shoots, and knocks it down. Baseline from 12. Mason with six. And it's 17-13 Beloit. Kreitzer to Lang. Lang guarded by Arismith. Kreitzer underneath. Here's Wintling. Reverse layup against Mason. Mason alters the shot and grabs the rebound. Well, Wintling tried the reverse, and Mason was right there to alter it. Didn't block it, but he did alter the shot. Here's Gray. He goes to work all the way to the hoop. A little off balance. Slips and falls as he goes up. Misses the shot, but the foul is called on TMP. It is on Wintling. That's his first 15 foul. Gray being very aggressive, and TMP probably shut that down. Going to have to slide over and take a charge. So Beloit leading 17-13. Only one made three-pointer in the game so far. Both teams shoot the three pretty well. As a free throw short by Gray, and Hudson's got to refocus at the line. It's in his head right now. Really, none of his three free throws have been that close. That one was well short. 61% foul shooter is Hudson, quarterback of the football team that made it to the 3A state quarterfinals. Hudson, he's had 12 games in double figures this year, five double-doubles. Second free throw, there you go. He switches that one. One out of four for Hudson at the line, and Beloit's lead is five at 18-13. Kreitzer brings it up, left to right. Schulte has it, play it out front. Lang reverses it right side to Steckline. Arisman went for a steal, came up empty. It was deflected. Now Jacobs gets it, and he's mugged underneath by Eilert. That was a great foul by Eilert. Jacobs only a 50% foul shooter. And Eilert, what he did is he fouled him hard and grabbed him across the arm to where he couldn't finish the shot. That was a smart play by the sophomore. The head coach's son, Ryan Eilert, the head coach of 12th year, assisted by his brother Eric Eilert, Kyle Beisner, AD, and Eric Lampert. As Jacobs' free throw up and good. Four team fouls on the Trojans. Jacobs now has nine. One of two from the stripe. So Gray will go out. Pollen got a short breather. He'll be in. That's the plan. Gray's kind of their backup point guard, even though he starts as a forward. 5:02 to play. First half, 18-14, Beloit. Second free throw, Jacobs. That one off the mark. Ball tracked down the corner. Schulte saves it right to Vinny Pollen. Now Pollen knows he has numbers. 5-on-4. Gives it to Owen Eilert. He'll shoot the three. The sophomore swish from the near wing. He didn't hesitate and knocked it down. Owen Eilert with the three, his ninth of the year. Back the other way, the three off the mark for TMP. 21-14, Jacobs goes up. The banker, no. The follow, no. He'll try a third time, and he finally scores, and he's fouled as Beloit just couldn't get him out of the paint. Carson Jacobs playing like a man among boys there. He has 11. Eilert picks up his second. 15 foul. Gray will have to come in. So Jacobs with 11 points, and he makes the free throw, now has 12, and it is 21-17. So the three-pointer by Eilert, but then the three-point play by Jacobs the other way. Team fouls even, five apiece. 4 minutes, 31 seconds to play before halftime. Beloit leading by four. Gray catches it. Mason has it on the near block. Double team, and coming from behind is Steckline to knock it away. Nice help defense by Steckline with Mason's back to the defense as he caught it against Jacobs. Out of bounds, it'll stay with Beloit. Gray slaps the basketball out front. Carson Cox catches, tries to drive. Good defense there by Kreitzer. Now Mason, pump fake, steps in, jump stop, pump fake, had it knocked away, gets it back, turns. He better shoot it. No, he doesn't have to. They're saying 3 second violation, but no call by the official. Now Gray to Cox, back to Hudson, top of the key, guarded there by Schulte. Gray, fancy dribbling, turns, double team, underhands it to Mason. Mason, get a little bit of room, over to Gray on the far side. Gray goes baseline, flips it back to Mason. Bryce backs down Jacobs, turns, shoots, and left it short. The rebound goes to Schulte, and then the ball stolen, almost stolen by Paul on the far side. And we've seen Vinny here the last few weeks lurking a little bit more and trying to get a cheap steal in the backcourt. So under four to play, 21-17. Beloit with the lead, TMP with the ball in this 3A boys sub-state championship game from Beloit High School. Winner goes to Hutz next week. Both teams were at state a year ago. Kreitzer drives, now throws the pass. It was errant, but it goes all the way out the stick line on the perimeter. Now back to Lang. Pollen gambled, and he pays. Lang hits the three, his first three of the game. He has four. Pollen went for a steal, and that left Lang open, and he drilled the three, and he likes that shot from the corner. Cox will try to answer a deep three. Buries it. Carson Cox says, I've got your answer right here. Carson with six, and Beloit's up by four. Jacobs turns against Mason, leans in, score it, and a foul. And Jacobs is dominating inside. Beloit doesn't have an answer for him. 14 points for Jacobs, and he's keeping TMP in it. Foul is on Gray. That's his first, and the 16 foul on Beloit. So earlier we saw Eilert get a three-pointer for Beloit, and then Jacobs a three-point play. And now Cox hit a three, and Jacobs doesn't complete the three-point play. Misses the free throw. He doesn't stay on the line sometimes. He kind of fades as he's shooting it. Just step into it. Go up off the toes. That'll be a good shot. 24-22, Beloit by two. Gray, a little three-guard weave. Carson feeling it. Shoots another three. Bullseye! Carson Cox has three threes in the first half. He has nine, and Beloit's up five. 27-22. The answer by Lang. He comes back with a triple. It's game on now, ladies and gentlemen. 27-25, Beloit. Lang with the first two threes of the night for TMP. 2:30 to go, first half. Gray lost it, dives on the floor, tied up with Schulte. The ball still on the floor. Finally, it's loose, and it comes out. And then Paulin, it's a blocking foul on Vinny. As Lang came away with the loose ball out of the scrum on the far side, Paulin tried to take a charge. That looked to be the right call. Blocking foul on Vinny, but the problem is Vinny takes a chance there, and that's his second. I've been better off not to take that chance. It does stop them from having a 2-on-1, but it's a second foul on Vinny. He's got to go to the bench, and this is a big moment in the game. 2:25 to play in the second quarter, and Vinny Paulin with his second foul trying to take a charge after a scramble play. Gray lost the ball, got on the ground, got it, tried to flip a teammate, knocked away by TMP. Wait with this, their second turnover of the game. And to the line is Lang, 76% foul shooter. That one well off to the right. That one wasn't even close. Nerves, maybe? 27-25, Beloit. Gray now running the point with Paulin on the bench with the two fouls. Across the Trojan logo from right to left. Mason had a thought of shooting a three. He has not made a three, hasn't attempted a three all year. Now Carson Cox has it, top of the key. Little shake and bake, drives. Carson leans in, and we're going to have an offensive foul. Carson Cox went a little bit too far, and Schulte takes the charge. Good call by the official. 17 foul, player control foul, no free throws. So Carson Cox with a foul. So Paulin with two fouls, Valley with two, Eilert with two. The big one there, of course, Paulin, who has 8 points so far. Carson Cox, 9 points on three triples. And Mason has six and 3 points for Eilert on a triple. It's been the Carson Jacobs show so far for TMP, 14 of their 25. And then Lang has 7 points on a couple threes in the second quarter. And Schulte has added 4 points. Steckline yet to score. 27-25, Beloit by two. Steckline plays it out front. Schulte fires away for three. Too strong. Burks with a good box out. And then Jacobs reaches in and is called for a foul. No need to reach in there, but it's just the first foul on Jacobs. 16 foul. And Caleb Burks, a sophomore, did a good job of boxing out. He's wears zero, and so does Lang, and he is able to box out Lang. Full court pressure by TMP with Paulin on the bench. This is probably a good move by the Monarchs. And Arismith will give it up to Burks. The sophomore has it on the near side. Burks looking inside for Mason. He catches, tries to split through a double team. He's tied up by Jacobs. Trying to go to Arismith, who is wide open. Problem was, Jacobs is 6'7". You're not used to seeing that. Jacobs just tied him up. It's the right idea by Mason, but couldn't get through the tree. That is Carson Jacobs. Four seniors on this team for TMP. Jacobs and Robbins, along with Steckline and Kreitzer. Three of them start. Robbins comes off the bench. So TMP with the ball, trailing by two. 90 seconds play, first half. Schulte lobs it underneath. Jacobs turns over. Mason misses, and the ball tipped out, and Mason goes up high to grab it for Beloit. What an effort by Mason. Now to Arismith. This is no game for the timid inside, as Arismith almost got knocked down. Gray attacks, pump fake, and we have a whistle and a travel called on Gray. Well, I don't think Gray, it looked like he was going to take a little step, and Coach Eilert saying that he got bumped, and that's why he traveled, but doesn't get the call. Turnover number four for Beloit. Minute 15 remaining. Coach Eilert talking to Sean Creer, official here on the near side, about the call. It was the official Schoonover that had the call underneath. Schulte into the near corner goes to Seibert, just checked in. Jacobs calling for it, and the pass is deflected and out of bounds, and it'll be Beloit ball. TMP saying it was deflected. The officials say no. I thought it might have been deflected, but I'm not for sure. So Beloit will get it. Turnover with TMP, their third. So questionable call going against each team. I guess you could say it balanced out if that's what you believe. Gray across the timeline, right to left. Paulin, it looks like, is going to sit for the rest of the half. Beloit leading by two. Burks, the sophomore, underhands it to the senior, Carson Cox. Carson's hit three threes. A deep three on the way. Swish! Carson Cox from NBA range is 4-3 and a half, and Beloit's up by five. Now the pass inside for Jacobs, knocked away by Mason, who half-fronted him, and Beloit now can hold for the final shot of the first half. Gray guarded by Robbins. Gray brings it up. No Paulin right now. Keep that in mind. This is where they love that Paulin. They just spread it out and let him go to work. Here's Gray, kick out to Burks. Burks back to Gray in the corner. Gray's going to shoot a three. That is short. That was not a good choice. And the ball knocked loose. Harrismith saves it underneath the Gray. The layup, no. A fight for the ball. It's loose. Mason tracks it down the corner. One on the clock. Carson's got to hurry and shoot it. Doesn't know the clock. And then Jacobs was hounding him from behind. And that's the end of the first half. What an effort by both teams. We figured it'd be a great game. It hasn't disappointed so far. Beloit 30, TMP 25 at halftime. Carson Cox red hot with four threes and 12 points in that second quarter alone. And Beloit leads by five at the break, 30 to 25. It'll be Cox, Pollen, Arrowsmith, Mason, and Gray, the starting five for Beloit. And it is Lang, Kreitzer, Jacobs, Steckline, and Schulte, the starting five for TMP. Pollen set the final 225 with two fouls, and Beloit actually extended their lead. Inside Mason, he catches, steps through, flips it up and in! Mason has eight to go along with nine rebounds. Beloit has their biggest lead of the night, 32-25. TMP in the navy blue with the white numerals and lettering moving right to left. Beloit defending man-to-man in the home white with the black numerals outlined in the orange. Inside Jacobs turns, shoots over Mason, misses, and the rebound, Arrowsmith had it but can't hang on to it. Out of bounds, last touch by Beloit. But Jacobs really turned and put that elbow right into the sternum of Mason. It is a big boys game tonight, no doubt about it. And it should be. It's for a berth at state next week in Hutch. Inside on the near block, Jacobs. He wants the return pass. That Steckline's going to shoot a three and switches over Carson Cox. And that's a dose of his own medicine, isn't it? Steckline with a rainbow three, and he can get hot just like Carson Cox. 32-28. Pretty good defense. Steckline, the high arcing three. That is tough to block. Gray picks up the dribble prematurely. Needs to find somebody. Plays it out front near the Trojan logo. This is Carson Cox. Let's see the adjustments both teams make here at halftime. For TMP, you got to guard Cox on the three-point line. Here's Arrowsmith. He leans in. Tough banker. Good. Grant Arrowsmith able to muscle it up and in off the window for two, and Beloit leads by six. 34-28. Arrowsmith, one of those seniors. Eight seniors on the roster. And now to Kreitzer. Schulte give a little bit of room. Good closeout by Gray. Schulte drives and hits the deck. He was tripped up inadvertently, but it's still a foul. And I think they're going to get Gray. If so, it'll be Gray's second personal. It is. So Gray's got two, Eilert two, Valley two, Pollen two. Pollen and Gray are the ones to really worry about. Here's the inbounds to Steckline. Back in the corner looking for Schulte. He shoots over Gray, but late reacting. Schulte misses a three. Way upstairs, climbing the ladder for the rebound is Mason. And Mason has 8 points and 10 rebounds now. Carson Cox over to Pollen. Screen set by Carson. Pollen drives, elevates, shoots baseline, knocks it down. Vinny Pollen double figures with 10, 34-28. Beloit Pollen double figures for the 20th time this year in 23 games. And Beloit leading 36-28. And now a turnover, and it goes the other way to Beloit. 36-28. Trojans with the lead, and they have the ball. Keep in mind, TMP, they've overcome a 20-point deficit this year. They've also blew a 12-point lead the other night, but then came through in the final seconds. Carson Cox on the block near side. Mason, give and go. Cox spins, turns, pump fake, then lost it. It's loose on the deck, and Arrowsmith beats Steckline to the ball in the corner. Now Grant's going to shoot the three, and it bounces off. Boy, this crowd would have went nuts if he knocked that down. Back the other way. Ball knocked away by Arrowsmith, but he's going to be called for a foul. Good effort. Hustling back down the floor, trying to knock it away from Kreitzer from behind. And for Grant, that's his first, and the second team foul for Beloit in the second half. 5:52 to go, third quarter. Beloit 36, TMP 28. Saib into the game for TMP, looking for the lob to Jacobs. Instead, they throw it all the way out on the far side, and Saib tracks down the loose ball. Lang, who hit the game-winning three against Hoisington on Thursday. Steckline fakes the three, drives, and puts it up. The banker, no, and Mason the rebound. But lucky Steckline didn't see Jacobs, who was wide open. If Steckline would have seen him, because three people converged on Steckline on the dribble drive. Now Pollen, who has 10. Cox has 12 to lead the way. Vinny steps in, jumper left side, bouncing off. Arrowsmith the rebound. Goes up strong, high, and altered there by Jacobs, and an air ball. Well, Arrowsmith gave it a whirl, but Jacobs held his ground. Here's Schulte against Gray. Puts it up, misses. Rebound Gray. Oh, it's a good look for Schulte. The iron a bit unkind. Gray stayed away from a third foul. Now Gray finds a crease, turns, flips it out. Wide open 17-footer straight away. Mason, nothing but nylon for Bryce Mason. He now has a double-double for the eighth time this year. Timeout, TMP, Beloit by 10. The boys' sub-state championship game here from Beloit High School. Beloit the one seed leading TMP the three seed, the biggest lead tonight for the Trojans, 38-28. 6-0 run by Beloit. TMP calling their first timeout of the evening. Lang into the paint. Bounce pass to Sive. He goes baseline, goes around Mason, kicks it out. Wide open three by Robbins. That's a big shot. Bouncing off. Ball tipped out, and it was last touched by Sive. It'll be Beloit basketball. Starting five, Beloit. They've gone the whole way here in the third quarter. TMP rotates and subs more frequently than Beloit, so we'll see if Beloit, if that wears them down in the fourth quarter. Pollen well-rested, though, because he set the final 2:25 of the first half with two personals. Vinny across the 10-second line. Trojan logo at half court, left to right. Inside, posting up is Gray. Turns, banks it up and in. Mason to Gray. Usually it's the other way around. Gray's first field goal. And Beloit leads by 12, 40-28. They stay in the man-to-man. Carson Cox pressuring Sibes. Sibes spins, turns, and nearly threw it away. Kreitzer caught up to it. Now to Lang. Beloit's defense has been outstanding here in this third quarter, and Jacobs hasn't had a lot of touches, and he's on the bench right now, but he's going to come in, return in a moment. So where will the offense come from for TMP? Because Jacobs has been the main source. Lang wide open, Paul late to get out on him. Lang misses the three. Gray up high for the rebound, lost it, gets it back. Now Hudson brings it up on the near sideline, flips it back to the trailer, Carson Cox. Cox a little bit out of control, now lobs all the way out at half court. Pollen's going to save it into the front court to Gray. That would have been a turnover over and back. Great hustle by Pollen. Now Gray steps in, turns, puts up a left-handed hook, and bounces it in softly. Hudson Gray with back-to-back buckets. He has five, and Beloit leads by 14, 42-28. Kreitzer, good pass to Robbins, layup good. That stops the bleeding, 42-30 Beloit, as the Trojans win on a 10-0 run there to go up by 14. Pollen into the forecourt. High screen set by Mason. Coach Eilert telling guys to clear out so Pollen could go to work here against Lang. Vinny drives, flips it out. Arismith, baseline J, left it short. Grant gets his own rebound, however. Flips it out, ball knocked away. Cox gets it back. Carson drives, flips it up. Banker, no rebound. One handed there by Robbins, poked away by Cox. Gives it up to Pollen. Pollen all the way in, and he's fouled going to the hoop. Roll right now, Beloit is getting the loose balls before TMP is. TMP's body language doesn't look particularly great right now. I'm not saying they're down, but they do look a little bit shell-shocked right now, and they got to get two of their scorers in there, and they do. Jacobs and Steckline back in. Lang and Schulte will go out. 2:55 to play here in the third quarter. Beloit leading 42-30. They led by five at halftime. Two sophomores are in for Beloit, Burks and Eilert. Gray to throw it in. Also, Valley is in. Gray's got to hurry and get it in, and that'll be a five count. No, a timeout called by Beloit. 2:55 to go third quarter, Beloit by 12. Well, Beloit led 32-28. They went on a 10-0 run to push the lead to 14, and now it is 12. 42-30, 2:55 remaining third quarter. 3A boys sub-state championship game. The winner punches their ticket to the Hutch Sports Arena next week on Wednesday, first round action. Both these teams were there a year ago. Inbounds to Eilert, now to Burks. Caleb, a sophomore. Career high 14 against Russell on Monday night in the first round of sub-state. Now Gray. Gray spins, turns, steps through, nearly lost it. Now to Burks. Mason getting a breather right now, as is Carson Cox. You're going to pick your moments to give them a breather here and there, but they'll be short breathers. And now Pollen says, let's back it out near half court. He wants to go one-on-one against Sibe. Crossover. Vinny going to work. Sibe stops, pops, and the shot rolls in there for Vinny. Sibe can't stop Pollen. I don't think TMP can stop Vinny Pollen with that stop and pop 15-footer. Steckline, rainbow three, is short. Burks the rebound in the corner. That was a quick shot on that possession for TMP. 44-30, Beloit. Gray had it knocked away. A whistle and a foul called on the Monarchs. Robbins didn't agree with it. It is on Robbins. That's his second. And team foul number two on the Monarchs. TMP just 5 points in this third quarter. Beloit has 14, so a 14-5 run in the third to push the lead up to 14, the biggest lead of the night. Robbins will go out. Pollen's going to get a breather here, too. Arismith, Burks, Eilert, Gray will be the point guard, and Mason. Pollen will get a short breather. Pollen has 12, Cox with 12. Mason will shoot over Jacobs. Swish! 6-6 over 6-7 from 17 feet. Beloit's up by 16. Into the paint. On the baseline. Now Jacobs has it. Inside the arc. Spins against Mason. Stumbled, nearly traveled. Mason with 12 for Beloit to go along with 11 rebounds. Schulte, pump fake. Beloit by 16. Remember, TMP was down 20 in a game this year and came back to win. They lob it for Jacobs, and he gets the easy layup. Little pick and roll action. Nice play for TMP. And Jacobs scores. 46-32. Beloit still in control, but Beloit cannot have a letdown. TMP more than likely is going to make a run yet before the game's over. Burks flips it over to Eilert. Eilert steps in. Back to Burks in the corner. Sophomore to sophomore. Those two will be starters next year. Arismith, and riding him all the way is Lang, and Lang called for the personal, his second, third team foul. What Grant Arismith brings to this Beloit team, he's a 5'10 senior. He missed the first part of the season due to an injury from football, but he brings a tenacity, a toughness, a mentality, a drive. He's just a guy that you need on championship-type teams. Inside, Mason, guarded by Jacobs. Mason tried to get underneath and tips it. It's loose and out of bounds. He was trying to go to Burks on the backside, but once again, Jacobs with a 6'7 frame was able to tip it. Normally, that'll be a layup as you pass it out of the double. So Jacobs' height and wingspan has given Beloit problems, certainly at times. 46-32, minute to play, third quarter. And if you're Beloit, you got to finish strong in this third quarter. TMP want to make a run. Ball knocked away for a moment. Arismith hits the deck, dives on it. He is tied up with Jacobs, and then Jacobs rakes Arismith across the face. And Jacobs, they could have called a foul there, did they? Man, Arismith took one right across the face, and Jacobs called for the foul. Jacobs, a little bit of frustration there. And so no technical foul, just a loose ball foul. If there wasn't extracurricular activity, I think it would end up being a jump ball, and the arrow would have been in favor of TMP. So Jacobs, I think, just got a little riled up there on the floor with Arismith. Two kids fighting for the ball. You like the competitive spirit by both. Nothing really horrible there other than it didn't look very good, and it was a foul called on Jacobs, his second. Four team fouls on TMP here in the second half. Here's Eilert. He catches it. He turns against Wentling. Up and under, Owen flips it up, banker no, Mason trying to get the rebound, and Robbins able to box him out. Quickly ahead, it's Lang, and Pollen trying to go for a steal, and Vinny picks up his third, and two of Vinny's three fouls have been a little bit questionable in regards to the decision-making, so he will probably have to come out here. It's not the end of the world, though. You only have 36 seconds to go third quarter. It's his third, not his fourth. Gray will come in, just the third team foul on Beloit, just four team fouls on the Monarchs. Beloit leading by 14. Led by five at halftime. Here's the inbounds, the Robbins. They swing it over here to Steckline. In the corner, Schulte wide open. Owen Eilert got caught inside, and luckily Schulte misses the three. Mason the rebound. Owen Eilert had a defensive breakdown, but got away with it. Schulte normally knocks that down. Here's Carson Cox, who has not scored in the second half, but he had 12 points in the second quarter, including four triples. Got to watch a five count here, and that is a five count. Somebody's got to give the ball. Ryan Eilert's trying to call a timeout. Fitchell didn't hear it. So that's where you really miss Vinny Pollen. Fifth turnover for Beloit. Carson was dribbling a lot, but he couldn't get away from the defender. That was great defense by TMP. They can hold for the final shot of the third quarter. It's an important possession, I think, especially for the Monarchs. Lang driving on Arismith. Bounce pass. It goes to Robbins. Robbins turn shot. Blocked by Mason. Robbins gets again. Blocked again by Mason. The ball loose in the corner. Out of bounds. It'll be Beloit ball as Arismith and Lang ran into each other in the far corner. And the official, I think, saying, hey, they both have a right to the ball. If you basically have to call a double foul, and they both hit each other at the same time in the far corner. So Mason, a couple of blocks, and now Beloit just get the ball in here. Don't turn it over. 2.1 to play third quarter, Beloit leading 46-32. And you could get Pollen in here if you wanted to. But Coach Eilert's going to stick with what he's got out there. He could bring Pollen in real quick with 2 seconds on the clock in the third. Here's the inbounds. Baseball pass ahead to Mason. Mason catches it. Over to Cox or Burks. A high arcing three. Just missed from in front of the Beloit bench from about 32 feet. Boy, Burks nearly made it. It was a set play with 2 seconds to go full court. A baseball pass to Mason, then to Burks trying to hit the three. At the end of three, Beloit by 14.
We jump ahead to late in the fourth quarter. 53 seconds remaining. Beloit leading TMP 63-43.
I never dreamt that Beloit would be able to play their sophomores and Wyatt Brockman, I mean all their sophomores, and Wyatt Brockman in a sub-state final against TMP. I never thought that was going to happen. Eilert hits the free throw. 5 of 6 in the line. He has 8 points. Gray gets a big hug from Coach Beisner. Eric Eilert giving a big hug to Vinny Pollen. And now TMP will do the same. They'll clear their bench. Dylan Worth, the 6'6 freshman, into the ball game, along with Cade Harris, a 5'10 freshman. And Gavin Unrein, a 5'11 sophomore out there, along with Trenton Romy, 6'2 junior. Saib is still out there. Eilert, next free throw. The lefty, it's on the way, and he knocks it down. 6 of 7, he has 9. He'll be replaced now by Kyler Valley. Boy, it leads 65-43 with 53 seconds to play. To the far side, into the corner now it goes to Trenton Romy. Seib out front to Harris. 40 seconds to go before it will be official. Beloit will make their 19th state tournament appearance. He has a three on the way. That one well off the mark by Harris, rebounded by Valley. Valley brings it back with the dribble. 28 seconds to go. Beloit could hold and run out the clock. Valley with the right-hand dribble. Hands it off to Rexroth. Rexroth looking inside. Now back to Valley with 15 on the clock. Walker catches a senior. Turns. He's stuffed there by Worth, the freshman. Outlet ahead. This is Romy, and the ball knocked out of bounds. It'll be Beloit because stepping out of bounds was Harris. 7.8 to go, and the Beloit Trojans are well on their way. The clock will count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The student section chanting, "I believe that we're going to win." 65-43 for the second straight season and a 19th time in school history. The Beloit Trojan boys are going to the 3A state basketball tournament in Hutchinson. Your final score, Beloit 65. TMP 43. What a performance by Beloit tonight.
The Beloit Trojan boys basketball team would move on to the state tournament for the 19th time in school history. They defeated Nemaha Central in the first round of the 3A state tournament on March the 11th by a final score of 51-43. That put them into the state semifinals against Wichita Collegiate. But as we know by now, that game did not transpire due to the COVID-19 outbreak, and the rest of the state tournament was canceled. So Beloit was one of the final four in Class 3A, finished with an overall record of 21-3, finished the season on a 13-game winning streak, and won a share of the league title with a record of 10-2. A big thank you to Ryan Eilert for joining us earlier to share his thoughts of that sub-state championship win on Beloit's home floor. We hope you enjoyed this rebroadcast of the 2020 3A sub-state championship game between Beloit and TMP. If you'd like a copy of this broadcast or any other games we've done in the past, you can give us a call at the radio station at 545-3220. Tune in again tomorrow morning on the Sports Ticket on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com as we'll have another rebroadcast of a sub-state championship game as sub-state championship week continues on KD Country 94.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.